Hit it, Brother Barnes. Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to read the first 11 verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 1, you join me on verse 2. We'll alternate throughout the passage that way. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Man, I had a cup of coffee, I got a glass of water, and somebody left me some happy pills. I mean Skittles. Wow, this is going to be a good night, amen? All right, here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, responsively. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill, that's hunting season, and a time to heal, time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love and time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And let's pray. Father, again, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd work through me. I yield myself the best I can to you. Though tonight may seem a bit simple and a bit basic, it is something you have addressed over and over in the Word of God, therefore it's important. I pray that you'd help us tonight in a special way, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I will bring something very simple, very practical, but I think missing in our society today. I wish you'd give me the first 2 to 3 minutes and listen to every word very carefully. Everything I'll say here by introduction is vital to the rest of the sermon. Those of you young people that piddle around with your phones, you better put it up tonight, because I'm not in the mood for you to be piddling with a phone tonight. I just might call you by name. The Bible is such an amazing book. May I say this? That is God's words, not man's words. Those are the very words of God. By the way, they were spoken by God to man. Man simply penned them down. He did not write them. These are God's words. They were settled before the foundation of the world. And you say, well, here in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon didn't say anything. These are God's words. They were written ever before there was a Solomon. Solomon was the man God chose to pen them, but these are God's words. It's amazing to me how practical the words of God are. Matter of fact, I can tell you how practical it is. We spend far too much time reading what experts say and far too little time finding out what the Creator said. If you could choose between an expert and the Creator, you can have the expert. I'll take the Creator. You see, your information is only as accurate as its originator. It doesn't get any more accurate than that right there, let me tell you. Now, you say, how do you know? Look at the news. The information is only as accurate as the one reporting it, just so you know. Do you ever notice how they'll bring a news story out and then it changes, and then it changes, and then it changes, and then it changes? Good night. A weatherman gets paid to lie all the time. You know, the weather report changes and changes. You say, well, they're trying to predict the weather. Yeah, that's God, just so you know. And man thinks he's so smart. Now, the God who created all things gave us a book, and he said, out of it is everything necessary for life. He said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By the way, that was Jesus talking to Satan when he was being tempted by the devil. And if Jesus quoted the word of God, three times in three temptations by the devil, guess what? It's good enough for you and me. And the Word of God covers many and all areas of life necessary for living. Now, listen to me very carefully. I like studying history. I enjoy studying history. But I have found that certain authors in history I don't read. There are certain eras and times of history where our society began rewriting history. If you read much history written about our country that was written after about 1960, it's perverted. Just so you know. Franklin Roosevelt began the recreation of writing history in the 1940s. It really didn't kick into effect because of World War II till the late 50s, early 60s. By the way, that's when we started bringing Fidel Castro into our country to speak on college campuses. We brought many other communists here and very many liberals to start speaking to our college students and changing America. Just so you know, that's when we started becoming politically correct. Everybody doing all right? Okay, if you're mad now, you're going to kill somebody in a little bit. America has been rewriting history for about 60 years. Now, Christopher Columbus was a bad guy. Now, just so you know, I don't think Christopher Columbus was a born-again, saved man who was propagating Baptist doctrine. Nobody ever said that, but God used Christopher Columbus to settle a land so that Christianity could have freedom to spread all over the world because it was being persecuted in England and in Europe. Everybody doing all right? By the way, just so you know, Christopher Columbus wasn't the first person to know there was an America. There were people already here. It was already settled. Okay? Now, the Bible is good for all areas of life. The Bible is not simply a history book recorded by men. There's a lot of world history involved in the Word of God, but it is not a history book recorded by men. You see, too many preachers preach the Bible as a history book recorded by men. Well, Solomon saw here, and David saw here, and Paul saw here, and Job saw here. No. These are the words of God written before there ever was a world. Yes, sir. Now listen to me very carefully. They were written before man was created, but it was given by God verbally to man and penned. None of the words are men's. You say, why? If it were, it would contain sinful men and sinful words. These are the pure words of God. There are no mistakes in it. It is inspired. It is preserved. A friend of mine this week sent me something, and I enjoyed it. I can't tell you I'm going to quote it exactly, but it's going to be real close. He said, interesting. A lady gets blackberries to make blackberry jam. If she cooks those berries and does what she needs to do to preserve them, guess what? If she takes the blackberries out, there is no blackberry jam. You have to have the blackberries to have the jam. And if you take the inspiration out of the Word of God, there's nothing left to preserve. Everybody doing all right? That's good stuff right there. I'm glad I have friends like that. Amen. Tonight, I want to show you one small statement in this passage, and I'm going to take about 28, 29 minutes and talk to you tonight about it. This is a truth that's going to enrich your life in many ways. Tonight, we're going to look at what God says about a time to laugh. I call it learning to laugh. Learning to laugh. Now, let me say this. Our society spends multiplied hundreds of millions and close to billions of dollars every year on laughter. Entertainment. We spend it on ball games, comedy shows. We watch comedy TV. We watch what some of those stupid things people do, or world's funniest videos just to laugh at people doing stupid things. We spend money on comic books. We spend money and time searching for funny sayings and funny pictures. They even have what they call laugh boxes out there. You push a little button, it goes, and all kinds of funny laughs. We spend money on whoopee cushions. Amen, Mrs. Brining. Took a trip with a bunch of our senior citizens to Tennessee last year. We left at 5:30 in the morning from Brother Taylor's driveway, and we started laughing at 5:25 and didn't quit laughing till we got back at 5:25 in the afternoon on Friday afternoon. I haven't laughed so hard to where my sides hurt for 3 days in a long time, but we had a lot of entertainment. We laughed a lot. Brother Taylor found out what those jets in the side of one of those tubs are for when he turned it on and it wasn't full of water and they were pointing up, amen? He come out and looked like he got in a fight with a whirlpool. I thought he fell in the commode or something. I mean, he was just dripping everywhere. He was in there making all kinds of racket, and we're thinking, is he okay in there? Good night. And then we got to laughing at Mrs. Brining. She was afraid the bears were out. Well, Ellen Moore decided she was going to scare Mrs. Brining. Mrs. Brining was in the room, and she was kind of getting ready to retire for the evening. And Ellen sneaks out the side door on the back porch and starts scratching at the window. As all we heard was this. And she comes out, and she said, Les, there's something at my window. Well, he's sitting out there knowing what's going on. He said, well, what is it? I don't know. I'm not looking. She wasn't real happy with him at that moment. And we're all over there trying to go like this, you know. Brother Taylor was in his room getting ready for the evening, changing clothes and stuff. So he finally got her calmed down enough to go back in there. Ellen come back in. She said, that was pretty good. I said, go do it again. She said, you think? I said, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. So she sneaks back out there again. I said, this time we'll leave the door open, run back in, sit down so she doesn't see who's here and who's not here. Because she's not going to be happy the second time. She wasn't happy the first time. Ellen goes back out there and she's on the glass. She come back in quickly. She come back in real fast, sits down. Mrs. Brining had been in long enough. I'm not sure what all she had to get ready to come back out, but it took her just a little longer, but you could hear the shuffling going really fast. She come out, Les, there is something out there. You better, he said, look through the, she said, I'm not looking. All of a sudden, Brother Taylor's door was open. She said, somebody's doing something. She gave him a tongue lashing like you ain't never seen before. I haven't seen a tongue lashing like that since my mama gave me one when I was a kid. I mean, the old finger, she was blaming Brother Taylor. He said, I know, she said, I know it's you. You changed shirts. You had something different. It's all your, I mean, she just started, I mean, wow. Ellen's over there going like this. We're dying. Poor Brother Taylor didn't even know any of it was going on. He was in his room. For the first time, he was totally innocent. But she was letting him have it, and Brother Brining wasn't saying a word. Now, wait a minute. We laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Can I tell you something? We spend an awful lot of money on laughter. A lot of money that we shouldn't have to spend. Some things we laugh at, we shouldn't laugh at. I want to show you tonight what God says about laughter. I want you to forget what the experts say. Let's go to what the Creator says. Number one, we should never laugh at sin, wrong, or evil. We should never laugh at sin, wrong, or evil. Notice the Bible says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There is a time to laugh, but may I say this, when somebody is sinning, it's not something to laugh at. Young people, when somebody tells a lie, it's not something that's funny. When somebody does something behind their parents' back and gets away with it, it's not funny. When a student in school does something that's against the rules and puts one over on the leadership, it's not funny. It's sin and it's wrong and you should not laugh at it. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. You might get mad at me. Sin is not funny. It's death and it's hell. What's so funny about death and hell? Evil is not funny. Evil is destructive. Evil seeks to destroy somebody, and that's not funny. If you've never had somebody try to destroy you, you might not understand that. But the day somebody tries to destroy you, guess what? You're going to find out it's not real funny. Everybody doing all right? Wrong is not funny. It's misleading. And misleading is not funny. You know, when somebody doesn't take time to study for a test and they just start writing answers down, thinking they're cute because they just start filling in the blanks, it's not funny. I've had students try that as I taught in school. Say, what did you do? Oh, I made an example of it, but it wasn't a funny one. That's for sure. People doing wrong is not funny. Wrong doctrine is not something funny. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Most worldly TV humor is laughing at sin and wrong. Sodomy is not worth laughing at. It's sick and it's wrong. Immorality is not something to laugh at. It's sin and it's wrong. Drunkenness is not funny. It's sin and it's wrong. Somebody strung out on drugs is not funny. It's sin and it's wrong. You can call me old-fashioned. You can call me an old prude. You can call me whatever you want. I didn't even let my kids play with candy cigarettes. You say, well, it's just candy, yeah? And sin is sin. We have degraded society to the point where we bring smoking down to children and think, well, it's cute. It's just candy. No, it's wrong. My Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. We should never laugh at sin. By the way, fellas, that means the dirty jokes at work you don't laugh at. The dirty pictures you don't laugh at. Okay, went to meddling, didn't I? Here we go. So we should never laugh at sin, wrong, or evil. By the way, that's what's wrong with a lot of the music in our society today. Oh, it's just music. It's artistic expression. It's vile, it's filthy, it's wicked, and it's wrong, and we shouldn't laugh at it, nor make it entertainment. I better go on. I have too many points and not enough time. Number next, we should not laugh at people's physical or mental problems. And I will be very careful how I say things here. If there is a special needs person and you laugh at them, you're laughing at the wrong thing. Just so you know. There's my girl back there, Hopi. By the way, her 41st birthday is on next Sunday. We're celebrating at Golden Corral. Amen. God made Hope a little special. Can I tell you something? You laugh at her over that, you're going to go through me and I'm going to come down your stinking throat. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, Brother Mike, you're going to have to stand in line behind me, amen? Whatever's left, you can have, because there's not going to be much left, but you can mop the floor with it. You don't laugh at people because they have a special need. I wore a brace for 2 years as a child. I can't tell you how many nights I went to bed crying because people made fun of me. Can't tell you. Now, wait a minute. I've been on the other side of that. By the way, children are cruel. I don't care how good they are. By the way, we've all done it, just so you know. We shouldn't, but we have. By the way, you shouldn't look at them with pity. God made them special for a reason. You know, I don't look at Hope any different than I do any other lady in our church. Not a bit. She's my buddy. That's my best friend, amen? And I love our special needs folks. By the way, they can be quite humorous. Hope cracks me up. She gives Brother Mike what for. He gives it to her, but she gives it right back. And she says some pretty funny things every once in a while. But I'm not laughing at her. I'm laughing with her. You laugh at her because God made her a little bit different than you. You and I are going to go toe-to-toe. I'm going to make a statement here. Never laugh at someone who's being hurt physically. Some who has a physical need, maybe they have a deformed arm or a deformed leg, or maybe they're missing some fingers or part of a hand or part of an arm. Maybe they've been wounded in war. That's not something you laugh at. You laugh at that, you're quite sick. Quite sick. Everybody, look at me. I love you. We don't laugh at people's size. Whether they're supposed to be an adult and God made them that tall. Or that tall. Or that tall. It doesn't matter how short. Or how tall. Good night. I've had two teenagers in youth departments as an assistant pastor. I had one that was 7'1" and one that was 6'11". Like this. You know, I'm 5'8". I have a teenager that's 7'1". Okay, he was a giant. I was preaching at camp. My wife was with me. I was preaching, and Chris finally got himself right with God. He walked up to me during the invitation, or after it was over, grabbed a hold of me and went, "Brother Bush." Okay, when he wrapped his, you know, I'm looking at his belt buckle. That boy grabbed a hold of me and wrapped his arms around me. I thought he was going to kill me. He was squeezing and squeezing. I said, "Chris, can't breathe." "Oh, sorry, Brother Bush. Sorry. It's okay." I took him to an LA Clippers game, Brother Gus. We were sitting up in the nosebleed section because that's all the money I had. He loved basketball. He was sitting in a seat. His feet were on the floor on the row ahead of him, over the chair ahead of us. Now, you could do that because nobody cared about the Clippers back then. The guy was huge. You attract a crowd when you walk around with a guy that big, amen? Wait a minute. You don't make fun of somebody because they're short, tall, skinny, or fat. Or anywhere in between. Ugly. You don't laugh at ugly people. You'd be laughing at yourself. We shouldn't laugh at the way people dress. Just because somebody doesn't wear the style of clothing you wear, that's nothing to laugh at. Ugh, they don't have enough money to wear what I wear. You're an idiot. They probably have more sense than you have because they didn't pay $75 for something they could have got for $5 somewhere else. We ought to be laughing at you because you're stupid enough to pay that. By the way, they're made in the same factory. They just put different labels on them. Okay, moving on. Sometimes it's fun being a preacher. You can get everything off your chest, amen? Blow your stack and get it over with. Number next, never laugh at failure. Don't laugh at failure. Can I tell you something? Quit laughing off your failures at work. You fail at something at work. Ha, 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 I blew that one. Cost company a lot of money. Ha, ha, ha. You're an idiot. I don't know about you. I try not to fail. I try not to fail with God's money. Try not to fail where I've worked in days and years gone by. Can I tell you something? This one's harsh. Hang on. Don't laugh at your children's failure. Now, sometimes you might have to go away from them and laugh because it does look kind of funny and it is kind of cute. But don't laugh in front of them. Say why? Because kids sometimes do things that are cute that is not real successful. And sometimes it is funny. But just don't let them know it till they're older, amen? Don't laugh at your children's failure. We have made failure something funny. And I hate to tell you something, failure is not funny. Don't laugh at others who fail. You drive down the road and see someone who got pulled over by a police officer. You're going, ha, 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 ha. You're not real smart. My wife and kids will tell you, every time I see somebody like that, I always say, boy, that's a great way to have a bad day. Say why? I don't think it's funny. Because it could be you or me next. My daughter and I were out about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I drove from the Walmart in Spring Mills, got cleared down to almost, what's that? Is it Berkeley Plaza there? And a police officer pulled me over. Now, I know I wasn't speeding. I know it goes from 45 to 35. I know right where it is because I keep the speed limit. And he pulled me over. I told my daughter, I said, I don't know what I'm getting pulled over for, but here we go. He comes up and said, you got a brake light out. Oh, okay. He said, I need your license. Just make sure everything's okay. I said, it's clear, but here you go. I said, which brake light, which side? He said, middle. I got a pickup truck. I don't have one in the middle. I said, excuse me? Left or right? He said, middle, on top, you know, above your window here. Oh, I didn't even know that thing came on when I pushed the brake. That's what I told him. He said, most people never look at the back of their car when they're not driving it. Good point. Good point. He said, I'm not giving you a ticket. He said, I just need you to get it fixed. He said, you're the third one today. I said, no problem. I said, when I leave here, I go down to the parts store and get one, all right? He said, no problem. Now, wait a minute. I'm sure somebody was laughing at me. I don't care. But I don't think it's real wise to laugh at something like that. Everybody doing all right? Don't laugh at the failure of our leaders. Don't laugh at your boss at work because he makes a mistake. And as bad as I hate saying this, we shouldn't laugh at our president for how much he fails. That's not something we should laugh at. It's sad. It's sad. I never thought in my whole life that the president of the United States would send money, taxpayer money, across the world and send his campaign manager to campaign against the Jewish leaders. But he did. $3 million and his top campaign manager sent him over there to try to beat Netanyahu. Guess what? He lost another election. No, that's not funny. It's sick. I don't laugh at that. Don't laugh at your parents' failures. Young people, teenagers, listen to me. Your moms and dads make mistakes. They're human. But you shouldn't laugh at them when they make... You say, why? Because you get beat for that. My mom might not remember this. I think my dad might. I was still in public school. Must have been about 6th, 7th grade. I had a science teacher, Mr. Rexrode. Never forget him. He was one of those guys that he would tell about all the stupid things he did. Well, one day he told a real zinger that he did, and I sat right on the front row. You know, Bush, you sit right towards the front there. Well, he was telling something, and he told this story. I said, you big dummy. I should not have said that. I didn't say it real loud, but I said it loud enough for him to hear. Mr. Bush out in the hallway. I had to write 300 times, I will not call Mr. Rexrode a dummy. Now, I remember that. Say, why? You write that 300 times, you're going to remember it too. But what he was talking about how dumb it was. I wasn't lying, but I still shouldn't have said it, just so you know. I should have probably got more than that. All right? Don't laugh at your spouse's failures. Some of you create arguments in your home because you laugh when your spouse does something that's not quite successful. Fellas, it really doesn't help when she pulls out the dinner and it didn't work out right. And you go, ha, 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 ha. That's not helpful. Say, what do? Shut up and eat it. It's okay. Well, it doesn't taste good. Don't tell her that. Don't tell her that. I'm going to get in trouble. But one day my mom made something for cheesecake or something or other. She made a box cheesecake. I don't know what it was. We sat down after a meal, popped that thing out. I got a mouthful of that thing, went, mm-mm. And my mom's a good cook. Thinking, something's not right here. Say, what'd you do? I didn't say a stinking word. I just... My wife takes a bite. Mom and Dad hadn't sat back down at the table yet. My wife goes, honey. I said, it's okay. You don't have to eat it. I'll eat mine. My mom sits down, puts a fork in that thing, She said, yuck! Is yours that bad? My wife said. I'm over there going. She said, is yours? I said, it's not real good. Well, what are you eating it for? I said, because it's sitting in front of me. I wasn't going to tell her. Say why? I was, you know, what she feeds me, I will swallow. I've been beat for not eating things before. I'm not going through that again. Now, we can laugh about it now. I wasn't laughing about it then, just so you know. I didn't say, ha, 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 ha. Say, what'd you do? I don't even remember. But I got down more than anybody else got down, that's for sure. Now, wait a minute. Don't laugh at failure. Number four, this is where the rubber meets the road. Learn to laugh at life and learn to laugh at yourself. Would you laugh at somebody else that just did what you did? If you would have, learn to laugh at yourself. Have you ever done something that really was funny? Then you got mad because somebody laughed at you? And then when it was over, you saw somebody else do the same thing and you laughed at them? Can I tell you something? Don't take life so seriously. You're not going to make it out alive. Learn to laugh at yourself. I said this yesterday. My secretary, she's homeschooling, so she brings her kids to work here, and her little two-year-old's got a bunch of toys in her office. I was sitting at my office about 6 o'clock yesterday morning, still dark outside. I've unlocked the buildings. I'm the only human being in these buildings. I'm sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden I hear, some voice. Not my phone, it's not my iPad. What's going on? This thing's going on and on and on and on. I get up and walk out. It's one of Wyatt's toys playing in her office. I'm thinking, man, I was getting a little nervous. What's going on here? You know, something coming. I walked in, it was crazy. Something coming through the speakers, I finally settled up. A half hour later, that stupid thing went off again. Say, what'd you do? I knew what it was that time. I didn't do anything. I just sat there going, ha, 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 ha. But the whole time I'm like this, I'm thinking, I bet you this is funny if it was on camera. It really was. I thought it was humorous. Learn to laugh at yourself. Your pride causes you to not laugh at yourself. Yes. I'm colorblind. I've learned to laugh at it. I came to work a couple weeks ago. I had one black boot on and one Cordovan boot on. I went through the whole day. Now, I didn't go out in public that way, but I had two different colored boots on. I found out. That's not the first time either, just so you know. Say, what happens? I didn't grab the right ones. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I thought it was funny. I've told the story. Last year I was cutting wood. Thomas was with me. Malachi was with me. Brother Barnes had taken a load of wood. He's gone. I'm going to keep cutting wood. We've been cutting for hours. Made a cut, started to move. And I was standing on some sticks that broke, and my chainsaw went like this, and I tapped my knee. It cut my pants. It cut my skin and took all the meat off my kneecap, and I never touched the bone. Say, what was that? God. I've worked with chainsaws for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. That's the first time I've ever been even nipped with a chainsaw blade. Put that thing down. I grabbed my knee. I said, fellas, I just cut myself. Moved my hand, and there wasn't blood all the way to my ankle yet, and I thought, might not be too bad. Put the chainsaw down, turned it off. I hobbled about from here to the Lord's Supper table away, sat up against a tree. I said, I got to look at this thing. Did you ever get to that point where you're not sure if you really want to look at something because it could be really bad? And I'm thinking, I got two teenage boys here. Neither one of them can drive. Brother Barnes is God knows where. Even if I called 911, they wouldn't know how to get to where I am right now. I'm on the end of Shale Pit Lane in the middle of nowhere. Literally, Shell Pit Lane. Pulled my hand back. Look, my pants are ripped. Looked at that thing, and the bone's intact. I said, fellas, it's going to be okay. So let's get some water, clean this thing up. I got two teenage boys that are... So I called Brother Barnes, Mr. Compassion. Preacher, are you bleeding out? You need me to call 911? If I needed you to call 911, why would I call you? I can call 911. I was laughing, wasn't I, Brother Barnes? I said, I'm fine. Might need you to bring me some bandages or something, but I'm going to see what happens here. Well, I had taken some extra clothes because, man, you get hot, sweaty, dirty. I was going to change some clothes. So I got the hose, and I'm cleaning it out. Ripped the britches the rest of the way off, cleaning that thing. Got one of the clean shirts, cut it up, put it around that thing as a bandage. I'm sitting there, and these teenage boys are going, like that. I mean, it was a little tense. I said, fellas, stink. They said, what? I said, I ripped my favorite pair of work pants. I'm not sure which one. It may have been Thomas. He said, what's Mrs. Bush going to say? I said, I think she'll be okay with it. I thought it was funny. I'm sorry. I found humor in that. Wasn't long before then. I had bought a survival knife for Joe's son. I was sitting at my desk at 25 after 7 one morning. Thought, I wonder what's inside this thing. So I unscrewed it and looking at all these things in there. I was putting it back, going to screw the cap back on. I was sitting at my desk, and there was a little catch in the threads. And when it went like that, it slid out of my hand like this. And I grabbed it, and I thought, man, that sounded like it cut my pants. I looked down. It did, but it went about an inch deep into my thigh, too. I went, oh, no. I mean, like butter. Good thing I caught it or it would have ended up on the bone. I mean, it's right straight down in that thing. My secretary's not here. I've got a group of young people and some adults that were coming to do some work at the church that morning. Here I go. My office was in where the nursery is right now. So I hobble out to the bathroom, you know, and when it's on your thigh, you can't pull your pant leg all the way up. So you got to do other things. I'm standing at the sink and Now, I did have my phone in my pocket, and I called my wife. I said, honey, I'm okay. I have cut myself. I need some Band-Aids, and I need another pair of pants because I cut through my pants. I told her what happened. She said, how bad do you need to? I said, it's fine. I got people coming. She said, well, there is a first aid kit in the utility room. I forgot about that. I was under pressure. Amen. It's not the blood that worried me. I got people coming. I don't want them to see the blood that's run all the way down to my socks, you know? Thinking, oh my, okay. Well, my keys were in my coat pocket. My coat was hanging on the back of my chair, which is all the way out here. Now I have a decision to make. Do I walk with bloody pants everywhere? Yes, I'm in church. So I hook everything back up, keep my hand over with a paper towel, waddle all the way back, get my keys, waddle all the way back in, find this first aid kit, go back to the bathroom. About then, Brother Taylor shows up. I said, Brother Taylor. He said, what? I said, need your help. Pardon me, but I need hooked up here. So hey, we're band-aiding this thing back together, you know. We're taping this thing. It was great. My wife finally gets here, get my britches changed. I stayed behind my desk till she got here. Say what? Ain't showing nobody. Got things changed. It was hilarious. Then I got to giggling. I found humor in it. Brother Wiley, there was needle and thread in that thing. No wonder they put that stuff in there. So you can sew yourself back up after you cut yourself. I thought it was funny. Now, I never did get stitches. It went all back together fine. You say, why do you do that? I've learned to laugh at myself. I have cut wood with my chainsaw since I cut my knee. And I have not touched any other body parts. Amen? Now, I got to tell this story. This is humorous. I was an assistant pastor in South Carolina. We were having a huge day. We had about 1,000 bus kids coming in. Well, I decided we were going to have Goldfish Sunday. Preacher said, great, you're in charge. I got me over 1,000 goldfish. Went down to the fish store. These guys packaged them up in foam coolers with these great big giant bags, blue air in them, all that kind of stuff on Saturday. I knew them because I had fish tanks and stuff and got some good deals. It was going great. Sunday morning come rolling around. Brother Harry, I got to church, looked in, and I had 999 dead fish. I had one fish out of two or three huge things. It was one fish going, everything else was belly up. I said, I called the store, nobody there. I called the police to get the phone number of an emergency contact for that store. You say, why? It was an emergency. I had 1,000 kids coming to the property of this church, and if they didn't get a goldfish, it was going to be real ugly real fast. The owner of the store returned a call to me. He said, what's the matter, Reverend? This is early Sunday morning. I said, you got a problem. He said, I have a problem? What? I said, every one of those fish but one is dead. He said, what'd you do? I said, I haven't touched them. I said, I will meet you at your shop in 20 minutes. I got there. This is the funny part of the story. He reached in and he said, they're all dead. I said, I told you that. He said, he picks the bag up, turns it upside down, and when he did, the whole thing explodes. He said, they didn't get packaged right. I said, no kidding. Now he's got water and 500 dead fish all over the floor. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I don't have any more. I said, where are you going to get them? He said, what do you mean me? I said, I paid for these. I have 1,000 kids coming. I'm going to tell you something, sir. At 12:30, if I don't have them, I'm bringing them by your store, and they can come by with a bag and get any fish they can grab, and you've got some real expensive ones here. Let me see what I can do, Reverend. 12:25, the last batch of goldfish. I have no idea where he got all these fish, but they were coming from truckloads everywhere. I mean, there was people delivering fish all morning long. It was exciting. But the look on that guy's face when he picked up a bag full of dead fish and they go all over his door, it was precious, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. Learn to laugh. I wasn't laughing then. I have laughed since about it. Laughing at yourself causes others to stop laughing at you. And they're able to laugh with you. Yeah. I had a friend. I was in high school. A guy named John. John was born and didn't have any feet, literally. And he was missing part of a hand and fingers, and he was a bit deformed, but John had a good spirit. John rolled with it. He had fake feet, and you hardly knew it. John was nuts. I mean, literally nuts. We were trying to cross a busy street one time. He said, Craig, how about if I take my leg off and throw it out in the middle of the road and I'll lay down? He said, it stops traffic every time, I promise you. I'm dying. There's people going, like, I mean, it was great. When he was in high school, he jumped off the stage in the gym, and his foot broke. And he didn't know it till he took the next step. Well, I mean, it broke off, not just cracked. I mean, broke off. So his foot's laying on the floor, and he's going, like this. And he goes over and picks it up. He said, there's people just passing out everywhere. Folks, that's, to me, humorous. I'm sorry. I find humor in that. He was able to laugh at it. He said, oh, man, my foot broke off. Here we go. And people are everywhere. When you start learning to laugh at your... some of you are really laughing hard. Laughter chases away hurt pride and bitterness. I told you the story about me having my brace. In wintertime, man, you're in 2 feet of snow with a stiff-legged brace. It gets hard to walk. My dad ended up cutting tires to put on the end of that thing. He happened to use a snow tire, so I kept saying, I got a snow tire on. I'm okay. I started getting people to laugh with me. They quit laughing at me and started laughing with me. You know, too many people are self-aware. I'm not talking about you become a clown. That's different. When you do things just for attention, that's wrong too. But so many people are just too self-aware. If you do something silly, it's okay. Laugh at it. It's okay. Yeah. It really is. Remember the day I tripped across the platform after baptizing and just about broke my stinking neck? I say, what was that? I learned to laugh at myself. The Bible says there's a time to laugh. There are some things we shouldn't laugh at. There are some things we should laugh at. Psalm 37:13, Psalm 59:8, and other places says that God laughs. If God laughs, guess what? We should too. We should too. Some of you feel better tonight. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Some of you have felt better than you have in a long time because you started laughing. Say why? We laughed at the right things. You see, some of you are so stressed because you laugh at the wrong things. Go on a trip with a bunch of our old people. You'll be unstressed in a hurry. In a hurry. Man, Mrs. Brining, we stopped for lunch the first day. She convinced the little woman that worked at the restaurant that Brother Taylor had just gotten out of the nut house. Brother Brining, I'm not kidding, am I? Everything, and Brother Taylor said, and this little old lady, she's backing up. Just looking at him. Mrs. Brining's over on the side. She's going, I mean, slapping her leg. Poor Brother Taylor's scarred for life. He'll never go to Bojangles ever again. I kept asking, we ain't going to Bojangles. Wait a minute. Some of you are so self-aware. You're so concerned about yourself that, if I don't, you know what? Thank God for our young people who play instruments and sing and do different things. Guess what? They are going to make mistakes, but it's okay. Keep on going. Well, somebody might laugh at me. Well, if they're going to laugh at you, we'll get them up here to sing. We'll get them up there to play. They'll quit laughing in a hurry. See, I heard Mindy make a mistake on the piano. Well, how about you come up here and show us how to do it? Everybody doing all right? I've been around a long time. There are some things that are worth laughing at. Sticking survival knives in your leg. There is humor in it, and I wasn't laughing at the time. By the way, I did say, you big dummy, why'd you do that? I can prove it to you. I texted Brother Lopez and said, hey, tell Josh, be careful with that knife. It's real sharp. I cut my leg real bad with it. I showed him the picture of the knife. I mean, it went in that deep. I mean, full inch. It was great. I did say, you stupid, you dummy, why'd you do that? Then it was, oh no, there's a lot of people coming today and you got blood everywhere. This is not a good thing. You better hurry up. Huh. There are some funny things to laugh at. We spend so much money trying to entertain ourselves and laugh at the wrong things. Most things that are really funny don't cost much or anything. Fellas, you could start every day with a laugh. When you shave, just look at yourself. That's worth laughing at. Now you know what everybody else is laughing at. You know, instead of being so stressed, why don't we laugh at the right things instead of the wrong things? There is a time to laugh. A time to laugh. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, laughing at sin is wrong. Laughing at evil is wrong. There are some things that we should laugh at. Maybe you've been laughing at the wrong things. Spending money to laugh at wrong things. Man, we ought to take inventory.